Praise the Lord.
Amen. I'm thankful.
He lifted me up. The Bible says that he lifted us from the guttermost to the uttermost. How many people can say that's your testimony today? Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Today is a very special Sunday because we will take communion together. And communion is a very special time. Jesus said to do this often in remembrance of him. And we don't do it every Sunday, but we do it often. The partaking of communion must always be a reverent thing and not just be done out of routine. You see, we celebrate today the beginning of the most important week in human history, a week that set in motion our salvation. Everyone say our salvation and our redemption. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, he purchased our deliverance. Deliverance from sin and deliverance from any sickness or anything that may bind us. He did it all at the cross. By his blood that was shed, our sins are washed away. The Bible says that we are healed by his stripes and his wounds. And I'm thankful for that today. Today, I've asked our sister Akua to come. And she's going to give a testimony because I want to talk today not just about the saving power of the cross, and we remember that in communion, but I also want to talk about the healing power that comes at the cross as well, because by his wounds, by his stripes, we are healed. And our sister's got a wonderful testimony of God's healing power.
Praise the Lord, saints. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan, for the opportunity. It's always such a privilege to stand before the people of God and give glory to God for the things he's done. October of last year, we noticed that our youngest daughter had a severe tilt in her neck when she was walking or just when she was moving around. So we took her to a GP and they recommended that we get an x-ray. From that, we were referred to Emergency Canberra Hospital. When we got there, they repeated the x-ray, MRI, and then a CT scan. And from the result of that, things just went from zero to 100. We were immediately admitted and transferred to, she was ordered on strict cot rest, and then we're transferred to Sydney Children's Hospital for further diagnosis and analysis. So from the x-ray, from this images, I was told two things. There was an abnormality in her neck bone, and to be honest, you didn't need to be a medic to see that something was not right. The bones in her C2 and C3 vertebrae and the disc in between turned out white on the scan when it should have been gray. So more immediately, they wanted to do a biopsy to find out exactly what it was so that we could start the best course of action so far as treatment was concerned. Secondly, I was told, because my husband was here in Sydney, I got transferred up with her, that they would have to do surgery to put metal rods in her neck because whatever was in there was eating through the neck bone, and there was a risk that the bone would collapse and so her neck would collapse on itself. So hearing that, I just remember calling my husband in a complete daze and just telling him what had been relayed to us. So he was able to drive up with our daughter Bella the next day. And we thank God we're able to get accommodation at Ronald McDonald House. And they told us, we don't know how long you'll be here for, but be prepared to stay for 6 months because we don't know what it is. And, you know, hearing things like, we don't know what it is, but we want to test to make sure it's nothing more sinister. We're not quite sure, but we just want to get in and do a biopsy so we can test it to find out what it was. And to be honest with you, the way the doctors and everyone was acting without saying anything, I could tell they were thinking it was something cancerous. But the outpouring of love and prayers that we received from the church was just incredible. Text messages with scriptures, words of affirmation that we prayed and spoke over her daily. The church anointed prayer cloth that was brought up to Sydney, and we kept that on her at all times. My sisters, I found out later, formed a prayer and fasting chain, prayer circle, and prayed for her continually, just refusing to accept what the doctors were saying. So many people stood in the gap for us. And, you know, truly we felt like the paralytic that was let down from the roof to the feet of Jesus so he could receive his miracle. When we were not strong, you stood in the gap and you prayed for us. Your prayers strengthened and carried us. And someone sent me the song Victory via Elevation Worship. And I remember playing that before they took Rin for the biopsy. I knelt down in the hospital ward. I lifted my hands and I cried out and I said, God, let this be for your victory. Let us see your victory in all of this. I don't care what the doctors are saying. Let us see your victory in it, because our prayer would be that they would go in there and then they would find nothing. And I remember specifically praying that day, God, they're going to go in there. They're going to say, we thought it was this, but we couldn't find anything. Or this is what we thought it was, but it turned out not to be that. So during the biopsy, they put a PICC line into the opening of her heart so that they could give her antibiotics and just hope that it worked or that it would attack whatever it was. We waited a week, 2, 3 weeks, no results from the biopsy. 6 weeks went by. 2 months went by, still nothing. And initially they said, oh, it's okay. Some of the more serious infections can take a while for the cultures to grow in the lab. We waited and waited and waited, and to date, nothing came back from the result of that biopsy. And, you know, even though we had prayed, let it not be anything, I was like, what do you mean you couldn't find anything? Something was there. Something was there, and that's why the antibiotic seems to be working. But the test turned nothing. You know, not too long ago, I caught up with one of my dear sisters, and I was telling her, I said, you know, I don't see the point of all of this, and I know that everything is meant to work for our good, but I'm struggling to see the point, the disruptions in our lives, you know. We missed out on about 3 months of work, Bella missed out on school, and Miller endured so many procedures, tests, and it was just heartbreaking to see her. And in a very loving way, wisely, she said to me, sis, let's not take anything for granted. We take nothing for granted, because how do we know that it wasn't something more but God? How do we know that it wasn't something more but God intervened and he stepped in? And you know, in that moment, the magnitude of it hit me. It hit me, and I thought, you know what? Truly, it was meant to be something more. It was meant to be something more, but God stepped in and he changed the DNA of whatever it was. So when they went in there, they couldn't find anything. They could not find anything. They couldn't find whatever was meant to afflict her. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed their disease and delivered them from their destruction. Malachi 4:2 says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his word, in his wings. And Isaiah 53:5, we all know, says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And today I stand before you on behalf of my family, and I just want to give glory, honor, and adoration to Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Nothing is impossible for him, amen. And if there's anything I can leave you with this morning, is that I just want to encourage you, when you find yourself in the valley of life, just remember that what God cannot do does not exist. What God cannot do does not exist, because nothing is impossible with this God that we serve. Amen. God bless you.
What God cannot do does not exist. Amen. And that's an encouragement for somebody here today. Amen. We thank you so much, Sister Akul, for that wonderful testimony. And we're always going to remember that when we see those beautiful young girls, Mila and Bella, as they are so beautiful and so smiley. And we're going to remember the goodness of God. And everyone say amen. Amen. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. It says here, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Everybody say remembrance. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, as we come to this time of communion. We thank you for your presence that is here. We thank you for the wonderful testimony of the miracles and the moving of your Spirit in this place today. Let faith come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody say amen. I want to speak today about the power of the Lord's table. In the Old Testament, the blood of the Lamb, when the children of Israel were in Egypt, the blood of the lamb had to be applied to the doorposts and the lintels of each house. You see, the Egyptians and the Israelites, they lived mingled together in a community. And so that 10th plague, if you were, was going to pass over the whole city of, or the whole country, the nation of Egypt. And whichever house did not have the blood of the lamb applied, the angel of death would visit, and the firstborn in each house would die. And so they were delivered out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. And then they went out and they went into the wilderness, and they were led in the wilderness by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. But before they got to the wilderness, they went through the water. We see right there in the account of Exodus, we see the blood, we see the water, and we see the Spirit, which I know that you know speaks of repentance, baptism in water, and the infilling of the Spirit. But they remembered that Passover because as they applied the blood, the Israelites applied the blood with the hyssop, the blood of the Lamb. They went and they remembered that each time they remembered their deliverance from Egypt, out of bondage and out of slavery. And then we get to the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples celebrated the last Passover. At the Last Supper, which you'll read about in Luke chapter 22, Jesus and his disciples had the Passover, but it just happened to be the first communion. They were remembering the Lamb, but the Lamb that day was at the table with them. Jesus, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sins of the world. And Jesus set for us at that Last Supper. He set the stage for generations ahead, including you and I. He set the stage for us to look back to the cross and to remember our deliverance at the cross. And that's what today is about. Jesus said, do this often in remembrance of me. Look back and remember your deliverance. We're not looking back to remember our deliverance out of Egypt, but we're looking back to remember our deliverance from sin as his blood was shed, our deliverance from sickness, as our sister Akua spoke about. There's something about remembrance. Everyone say remembrance. Two times in our text, the word remembrance is used. Remember. Two words. Remember. Re means to do again. Member, to become a member, means to join, to go back and join. And so that remember means to go back and join yourself to that event. And so when we do this in remembrance of Jesus, we are going back to the cross through the symbolism of his blood with the grape juice and his body with the bread, and we are remembering. Some maybe are distant from God today and you are dismembered, But now, today, as we come to this time in our service, as we have communion as a church, God wants you to be remembered. That's why we are told to do it often in remembrance of Jesus, to go back. And you know, it's not just casting our mind back, because the communion table is more than that. The communion table is about something that we can touch, something that we take into our body, the grape juice and the bread. And so today, as we go back to the communion table, we are remembering the most important event in human history, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In the Gospels, which is the first four books of the New Testament, we have 89 chapters in total. Out of the 89 chapters, four chapters are given to the birth of Jesus and his youth. Four chapters out of 89. 85 chapters are on the 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. Out of those 85 chapters, 27 chapters are on his last 8 days on earth. And so when we understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, all scripture is breathed by God, we must understand what is the Holy Spirit, or what is the Spirit of God emphasizing in the Word. And I see in the Gospels, I see an emphasis on his death. Why is that? Because Jesus' death is what changes everything. It is what started the new covenant. And this world, believe it or not, I mean, I'm sure you are going to believe it, because you know what this world's like. But this world likes to put all the emphasis on Christmas rather than Easter. However, in heaven's opinion, in heaven's eyes, Christmas was just a means to an end, because Jesus came begotten. He came to earth, God in flesh, through the womb of a virgin Mary. He came to die. He came to die for the sins of the world. The cross changes everything. You see, from heaven's perspective, it all comes down to what happened at Calvary on that cross. It all comes down to his blood that was shed and his body that was broken. That's what it's all about. And that's why we preach Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection. In Matthew 1:21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The good news, Paul said, the good news is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That's good news. Everyone say good news. But you can't have good news without bad news. And so you say, well, what's the bad news? Well, the bad news in Romans chapter 6, verse 33, is that the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6, verse 33. He's got a photographic memory. I said 23 because of my eyes. He said 33. He's correct. Romans chapter 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. Because of sin, we die. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus, Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, that tells me about the substitution. Everyone say substitution. Substitution is a major theme in the Bible. And God instituted it right back in the Garden of Eden. When they sinned by disobeying God's word and partaking of the tree, they tried to cover themselves in fig leaves. And my grandfather preached a very interesting message called, "Excuse me, your fig leaf is slipping." He had a way. He was a great preacher. And he always got great titles to his messages. And it was a message about our self-righteousness. And when we think we're so self-righteous, you know what? That fig leaf's going to slip. Fig leaves weren't enough. And so we see the theme of substitution right there in the book of Genesis, because God clothed them with the skins of animals. Something had to die to cover them. And we see it right back there, the killing of an animal to cover their nakedness. And Jesus While the wages of our sin was for us to die, Jesus took upon himself all of the sin of the world. He took it upon himself and he died in our place. He was substituted for us. Why? Because sin had separated us from God. But God gave his life for our atonement. Jesus died on the cross for our atonement. And that word atonement can be broken down to three words: at-one-ment. Because sin had separated us, but Jesus substituted and died in our place, that we can be in fellowship with God, that we can be saved. Why? Because of the atonement. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And so when you read the Old Testament, you see this substitution happening all the time. They would go into the tabernacle and the temple, and they would slaughter a lamb, and they would burn it on the altar as an offering before God to represent atonement, substitution for their sin. But the sin was never completely rid of, because they would have to come back and they'd have to do it all again. But when John, who was the forerunner to Jesus Christ, when John saw Jesus, you know what he said? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He knew all those Old Testament sacrificial systems. He knew about the lamb dying in substitute for sin. And John said it. He said, "Here is the Lamb of God who's going to take it away. Not roll it forward, but he's going to take it away." John announced that Jesus was the one who would come to die for our sin and to bear our sin. I want to tell you, Jesus' death is good news for us, because he died in our place that we may have life. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 2. He said, "For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." You see, the cross is so powerful, because Ephesians chapter 2 says we were aliens, but the cross made us citizens. We were enemies, but the cross made us friends. We were strangers, but the cross made us sons and daughters. We were slaves, but Jesus and the cross set us free. We stood accused. We were dead in our sin, but the cross brought our forgiveness. We were debtors, but Jesus Christ and the cross settled our account. I thank him for the cross today. I thank God for the cross today. And so communion is a remembrance of him. A remembering. I'm going to go back. Not just cast my mind back, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to be remembered. I'm going to go back to that place. I'm going to partake of the bread, which symbolizes Jesus' broken body. I'm going to partake of the grape juice, which symbolizes his blood that was shed. Communion is about remembering our covenant of deliverance. Everyone say deliverance. When you partake the cup, which represents his blood, you're remembering that Jesus delivered you from sin. Everybody say sin. But very often, we often stop there and we just thank him for our deliverance from our sin. But when you eat of the bread, which represents his body, you are acknowledging all the things that happened before he got to that cross. All that physical torment and spiritual torment that Jesus endured so that we could be delivered completely. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Delivered from anything that binds us. The Bible says, "By his stripes we are healed." Delivered from sickness and disease. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." The New Living Translation says, "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole." Everybody say whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. And I'm not just preaching about salvation today. I'm speaking about wholeness, and I'm speaking about healing today as well. And I believe as we partake in communion today that God can heal you of any sickness, that God can heal you of any disease, that you can be made whole, that God can deliver you from any addiction that's in your life. That is the power of the cross. Hallelujah. He canceled, Colossians 2, 14 and 15 says, he canceled the record of our charges against us and took it away, nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. You see, he took authority over every wickedness, over everything, every spiritual thing. He took authority over it. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. He is the victor. And so, we remember our deliverance. Everyone say deliverance. And I want you to claim that victory today. Victory over sin. Victory over sickness. Victory over disease. Victory over addictions. Victory over bondage. It's not just about sin. There's so much more to the cross than just our sin. He purchased the ultimate victory for us on the cross. Somebody say amen. And if you've been dismembered today, maybe it is because of your own choices that you've drifted away from God. Maybe you're in church, but yeah, your heart's far from him. I want to tell you today that you can be remembered today. You can be rejoined through the communion table as we go back and we remember what Jesus did for us. You can be remembered today, remembered. You can be restored. And so his broken body speaks of our healing. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Then the grape juice, which speaks of his blood. It happens to be red, obviously, because of the symbolism. But blood is so important to God that is mentioned in the Bible around 700 times. A lot of churches, I read an article once, a lot of churches stopped singing about the blood. Because they said it's awkward, you know, if someone comes to church and they hear a song about the blood. And yeah, I understand if you don't know anything about what the blood of Jesus does, then you're going to have a few questions. But the blood is mentioned all through the Bible. David referred to the incorruptible blood. Peter spoke of the precious blood. John wrote about the overcoming power of the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let me tell you, cut the Bible anywhere and it will bleed. It's all about a Savior who is going to come and shed his blood for us. You see, there's a scarlet cord that runs all the way through the Scriptures. It speaks of the blood of Jesus. The blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. I tell you today, if you've been dismembered today, if there's your sin in your life, there's nothing but the blood of Jesus. It can wash away your sin. It can make you new today. You can be remembered today. There needs to be no divide between you and God. You can be restored. Are you living today? And this is my challenge for you. And I think I said it a couple of weeks ago as well. Are you living a life worthy of his dying? Ephesians 2 verse 12 to 14 says this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, everybody say, but now. I'm glad for those two words, but now. My dad used to say, but is a revolving door. Yeah, someone tell you something bad and they say, but, you're like, oh, good news. But now, because of politics and the government in Australia, but now, because of the money that we've got, but now because we attend church, but now Because we believe in Jesus? No. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off, you see, it's more than just head knowledge. But you who are afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. We who were afar off, we who were outside of the covenant of promise, we who were dead in our sin are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What is that middle partition between us? It's sin. Because that partition is gone, I can be remembered. I can partake in the victory that was purchased at the cross. I can be a partaker of the deliverance that was purchased for me at the cross. I can be a partaker of the forgiveness of sins, which is by his blood. One scripture says, it's not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm going to ask our musicians to come and ask our ushers to come as well. In Luke chapter 22, verse 14, I'm going to ask our ushers to, we have four different places where you can come and get the communion. But let's all stand, Brother Snyder, if you could come. The power of the Lord's table. I want you to remember that we are remembering the deliverance that was purchased for us at Calvary. Deliverance. And if there's sickness in your body, and if you need healing, let me tell you, there's power. By his stripes we are healed. If you need forgiveness of sins today, let me tell you, you can have the blood applied to your life through repentance, taking on the name of Jesus in baptism. You can be set free. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the good news. Luke chapter 22, verse 14, through to verse 20. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. They had one cup. And we're not all going to drink out of one cup today. Some people still do that. I remember the controversy around COVID when people still wanted to drink from the same cup. I mean, if we were all in the same house, I guess we could drink from the same cup. But Jesus said, take this cup and divide it among yourselves. Whether or not he passed it around and they all took a little bit, or whether or not it was split up somehow, the scripture here doesn't exactly say. Tradition probably gives us some really insight into what happened. But it says, he took the cup and he said, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And then he took the bread and he broke it. There's a whole sermon in that as well, because Jesus is the bread and he was broken for us as well. We see the bread and the breaking of the bread continually through the scriptures. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so today, as I read in the text at the very beginning in Corinthians, it speaks about partaking of this communion table unworthily. And you ought to ask yourself, I don't want to partake unworthily. Now the reality is, for every single one of us, if I was to say who is worthy to partake of communion today, anybody who put their hand up, it would immediately make you unworthy. Because we're all unworthy. Who of us can say, I deserve Jesus to die for me? I had a right. You know, we don't want to partake unworthily. And so, how do we deal with that? Well, to partake unworthily would be to have no love for God, no desire to live for God, living in rebellion against God, going against His word. In fact, in the Bible, there's so much about the direction of our life. Even with the cities of refuge, when they were running towards a city of refuge, because the avenger of blood could come after somebody that had accidentally hurt somebody or killed somebody. But if they ran towards the city of refuge, if they called out the name of the king, they could be spared while they were running towards the city of refuge. They weren't in the city of refuge. So we see that direction matters, because the same is said when somebody steps out of the city of refuge and starts to go in the other direction, the avenger of blood was free to take them. So the direction of your life matters with God. And we ought to keep drawing closer and closer to Jesus. And so right now we're going to examine our hearts. We're going to ask God to forgive us. I'm not just talking about sins we have committed. Because if you've been a Christian for any time, you know there's not just sins of commission, but sins of omission. Things that we know God wanted us to do, but we didn't do. Sin is simply disobeying God's word. It was established right at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, because the only thing that stopped them from partaking of that tree was God said, don't. So right now, let's pray. Let's examine our hearts right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we just come before you right now as a church. Lord God, we've come here to remember, Lord God, your blood that was shed and your body that was broken for us. Lord God, who are we, Lord God, to deserve such a great sacrifice? Who are we, Lord God, Lord, that you would die for us while our backs were even turned against you and away from you? Lord, who are we that, Lord, that while we were yet sinners, that you would die for us, Lord? You didn't wait for us to get good, but you died in our place, oh God. Even while we were in rebellion, you died for us. And Lord God, we thank you for that today. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins today. Forgive us of our attitudes. Forgive us of the times, Lord, we've rebelled against your word. Forgive us, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Let there be no sin in our life today. We thank you, Lord, for your word that says, if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. Lord God, we take hold of those words to cleanse us. We ask you to cleanse us today. Lord, even those of us who have lived for God so long, oh God, the longer we serve you, Lord God, the more we need and the more we realize our need for cleansing. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just tell the Lord you love him right now. Just, I don't want you to worry about who's sitting next to you. This is right between you and God right now. Let there be a remembering in this place today. Let there be a revival and a refreshing in this place today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, come on, lift your voice right now, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Come on, church, lift your voice. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. We thank you for your blood. Lord God, we thank you for your body that was broken for our healing today. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. And Lord God, we stand on the authority of your word. And we stand on the power that's in the name of Jesus. And oh God, I speak healing into every life. Over every sickness in this house, I speak healing. I speak deliverance over every addiction. Over anything that has us bound, oh God. Set us free today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, church, right now, it's just between you and God. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, forgive us, oh God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power that's in your name today. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Oh, just worship him. Tell the Lord you love him today. Let there be a praise on your mouth right now. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you died in my place. Lord Jesus, help me to live a life worthy of your dying. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. You deserve the praise.